a matter of a fact for all of you is no matter who we are, we're all aging. Okay, some of us have aging parents, some of us are aging parents, and some of us are aging our parents. But how often do we think about and talk about caring for our aging parents? Okay, will you mow your parents' grass? Will you shovel their snow? Will you fix the leaking toilet? Will your parents live with you when they get older? Will your parents move into a senior's home when they get older? Will you move closer to them, or will they move closer to you? And what about if one of your parents passes away, or your parents are divorced and the other one's living alone? Those are all real questions all of us have to ask, because if the Lord tarries, we'll probably all be in a position of having old parents and one day becoming old ourselves. And so, should we care for aging parents or grandparents? And if so, how? If you open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 5, we're going to continue in our study in 1 Timothy, answering that question over the next few weeks. 1 Timothy 5. I'm going to read through the whole section this morning, and then we'll just cover more specifically 3 and 4. But starting in verse 3 all the way to 16, Paul writes, "Honor widows who are widows indeed. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents. For this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in petitions and prayers night and day. But she who lives in self-indulgence is dead even while she lives. And command these things as well, so that they may be above reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than unbeliever. Verse 9, a widow is to be put on the list only if she's not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, having a reputation for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in affliction, if she has devoted herself to every good work. But refuse to put younger widows on the list, for when they feel sensual desires in disregard of Christ, they want to get married, thus incurring condemnation because they have set aside their previous pledge. At the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. Therefore, I want younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no opportunity for reviling, for some have already turned aside after Satan. If any believing woman has widows, she must assist them, and the church must not be burdened, so that it may assist those who are widows indeed." Let's pray before we continue. Father, we come before you this morning as we seek to learn from your word, grow in our understanding of your word, and Father, we want to apply your word. This may be a topic that we don't usually think about, and sometimes it might even be scary to think about, either ourselves becoming older or our parents getting to the age of needing care. But Father, thank you that you've given us instructions. And Lord, we thank you for your heart of compassion as revealed throughout your word, as we'll look at it this morning. And Father, I pray that we would learn and receive from you by your Holy Spirit as we open up your word and submit ourselves to your word and the authority of it. Lord, we acknowledge that your word is sufficient for us in all matters. Lord, we acknowledge that it is inspired and inerrant. And so, Lord, as we consider your word this morning, may it be in understanding of its authority and of your authority in our lives that we would live out and apply such truth. Lord, give me now the words and give us the focus. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, particularly in our text this morning, the question to answer is, who's responsible to care for widows? And how do we care for widows? And it's not a short topic or just a quick discussion, because as we've just read, Paul has devoted here 14 verses to that topic, which means more than 12% of 1 Timothy is dedicated to the subject of widows. And given everything else that Paul could say, this might seem strange and unnecessary. But clearly, it's an extremely important matter to Paul as he writes this letter. And it seems his lengthy treatise on the care of widows indicates that the church in Ephesus, the believers in Ephesus, were failing to live up to their responsibility in caring for the widows in the church and in their family. And even though in society today there is definitely much more of a positive future for widows than there was generally in Paul's day, there's also, as we go through this, much truth and I'd say challenge for us to consider Paul's words, and not just from the text we've read, but as we look through Scripture today, God's words for us. I'd even say too, as well, as we think about how well does the church today, how well does society care for widows, it's an important topic for us to think on, to understand and apply. And as I've studied the passage this week as well, I'd say I'm even more convinced that we as believers need to know and apply our biblical responsibility to care for widows. And you could extend that even to those who are in need. We need to understand this and apply it both as a church and personally. And I say that not just because it's related to Paul's words in our passage, but it's about understanding God's heart, obeying Him, following His example and pleasing Him. And so this morning I'm going to introduce Paul's section on honoring widows from verses 3 and 4 as a way to introduce his concern for widows, and then we'll more fully discuss that in the coming weeks as we've just read that whole passage. But before I introduce Paul's discussion, I want to introduce our introduction. And so if you want to go to Exodus 22 with me, Exodus 22, we're going to look through this morning the Old Testament as an introduction to God's heart for widows and others in need, and His requirements for the care of widows. If you're taking notes or if you're following the outline, I've called this point, honoring widows is the Lord's requirement. Hey, honoring widows is the Lord's requirement. And I'd say as we go through these references, and I've been looking at them this week, they provide a profound and challenging perspective on how God views widows. And therefore, how we too, who want God's heart, want to follow Him, want to know Him, are called to think and act toward widows. And so in Exodus 22, starting in verse 22, it says, "You shall not afflict any widow or orphan, and if indeed you afflict him, and if he earnestly cries out to me, I will surely hear his cry, and my anger will burn, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall become widows, and your children fatherless." So that's the Lord's words to His people Israel. And then if you go to Deuteronomy 10, we're going to look this morning through the law given to Moses. We're going to look at Job. We're going to look at Solomon. We're going to look at the psalmists. We're going to look at the prophets to understand God's heart and requirement in the care of widows. In Deuteronomy 10, we see Moses urging the people to follow after the Lord rather than continue in their rebellious ways. And so he has an appeal starting in verse 12 that goes through to the end of the chapter as a description of who God is, what he does, and what he expects. So you can read through that whole passage yourselves, but verse 17, 18, as they relate to this topic, it says, "For Yahweh your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the fearsome God, who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. He executes justice for the orphan and the widow and shows love for the sojourner by giving him food and clothing." And then Deuteronomy 14, 28 and 29. God instructs Israel how they're to care for the poor and needy. And we see here God's blessing is attached to caring for those in need, including widows. 14, 28, 29. "At the end of every third year, you shall bring out all the tithe of your produce in that year and shall deposit it within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance among you, and the sojourner, the orphan and the widow who are within your gates, shall come and eat and be satisfied, in order that Yahweh your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do." And then Deuteronomy 24, 17 to 19, we see here God giving more instructions of how Israel is to care for the needy. And he makes his point clear that this isn't a suggestion. He is commanding his people to commit to care for widows. Okay, 17 to 19. "You shall not pervert the justice due a sojourner or an orphan, nor take a widow's garment in pledge. But you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and that Yahweh your God redeemed you from there. Therefore I am commanding you to do this thing. When you reap your harvest in your field and have forgotten a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back for it. It shall be for the sojourner, for the orphan, and for the widow, in order that Yahweh your God may bless you in all the work of your hands." Okay, and then 27:19. Again, we see the context here, the blessings and curses that were pronounced upon Israel for their obedience or disobedience to God's law. And so it says, verse 19, "Cursed is he who perverts the justice due a sojourner, orphan, and widow." And all the people shall say, "Amen." Okay, then if you go to Job 24, Job there describes various actions of the wicked. And in particularly in verses 3 and 21, we see a reference there to the wicked and their evil towards widows. Okay, 24:3. "They drive away the donkeys of the orphans. They take the widow's ox for a pledge." And verse 21, "He feeds on the barren woman who does not give birth and does no good for the widow." Okay, then go to the Psalms. If you go first to Psalm 68, okay, several of the Psalms describe again the Lord's heart for widows. Psalm 68, David there writing in verse 5, it says, "A father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows is God in his holy habitation." Okay, that's our God. In his holy habitation, he is the judge for the widows. Psalm 146, if you go there. We could look at some other psalms, but we'll just finish with this one. Psalm 146, verse 9. "Yahweh keeps the sojourners. He helps up the orphan and the widow, but he bends the way of the wicked." And then from Psalms, if you go to Proverbs, Proverbs 15, 25, and there we read the principle of God's judgment upon the wicked, but his compassion toward the needy. Proverbs 15, 25. "Yahweh will tear down the house of the proud, but he will cause the boundary of the widow to stand." And there from go from there to Isaiah 1:17. And we see not only did Moses, Job, the psalmist, Solomon write about widows, but many of the prophets also call on the people to obey God, to care for widows, because God requires the care for widows. And if they don't, then the prophets also describe some of the consequences and judgment that will come upon them. And so Isaiah chapter 1 verse 17, learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the ruthless, execute justice for the orphan, plead for the widow. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah writing just before Judah's forced into exile in Babylon, and there God tells Israel that their care and justice toward widows and others in need will have a direct relationship on whether they'll stay and remain in the land that God's given them. Jeremiah 7, starting in verse 5. For if you truly make your ways and your deeds good, if you truly do justice between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the orphan, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, nor walk after other gods of your to your own evil demise, here's the promise, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Okay, then from Jeremiah, go to Ezekiel, two books away. Lamentations, then Ezekiel. Ezekiel 22, Ezekiel writing from exile in Babylon just before Jerusalem was destroyed, and he described God's judgment coming on Jerusalem because the people had sinned against God. Again, you could read through that whole judgment as it's described in the whole chapter, but I'm just going to read verses 6 and 7. Behold, the princes of Israel, each according to his power, have been in you for the purpose of shedding blood. They have treated father and mother with contempt within you. The sojourner they have oppressed in your midst, the fatherless and the widow they have mistreated in you. And then if you go to Zechariah chapter 7, okay, this time after a small remnant returned from Babylon, exile in Babylon, God again instructs the people that they must show justice to widows. Zechariah 7, verse 9. Thus has Yahweh of hosts said, judge with true justice, and show loving kindness and compassion each to his brother, and do not oppress the widow, or the orphan, or the sojourner, or the afflicted, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. Okay, and then finally in Malachi, if you go to Malachi chapter 3, we see in some of the final words of the Lord before Christ came 400 years later, God pronounces judgments coming upon those who don't care for the needy, who act against the needy. Malachi 3:5. Then I will draw, this is God speaking, then I will draw near to you for judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against those who swear falsely and against those who oppress the wage earner in his wages, the widow and the orphan, and those who turn aside the sojourner and do not fear me, says Yahweh of hosts. Okay, all of that shows God and his heart for the widow. May our God, almighty, sovereign, omnipotent, transcendent, above all, perfect and holy, cares for the most needy of people. Okay, he is above all and all belongs to him, but he is compassionate, kind, caring and loving to those in need. And that's the foundation for Paul's instructions in 1 Timothy. Okay, because God cares for widows, we too are required to care for widows. And so therefore, honoring widows is the responsibility of the church and the responsibility of the family. And so that's the introduction to the introduction. And we're going to consider next from our text what Paul says about the responsibility of the family and of the church to honor widows. That's who and how we're to honor widows. So as I said earlier this morning, it's going to be a bit of an opener into our larger section of verses 3 to 16, which we just read. Okay, because I'd say verses 3 and 4 introducing the whole discussion with what's just going to be repeated themes and instructions throughout this as Paul continues to thread these themes and instructions throughout this part of the letter. And so if you look quickly at our passage again, I'm just going to quickly outline for you the passage and the main points of this section before we go into more introduction in verses 3 and 4. Okay, so verse 3, Paul opens up the discussion with the church's responsibility to honor widows. Verse 4, Paul lays out the responsibility of family to honor widows. And then verses 5 and 6, if you glance at that quickly, Paul identifies widows who are qualified or disqualified to receive the church's support. In verse 7, we have instructions to be above reproach. In verse 8, Paul closes this first subsection with an emphasis again on family responsibility. And then the second subsection of the passage, which is 9 to 16, it follows the same rough structure. Okay, because verses 9 to 13, Paul gives another further description of widows who are qualified or disqualified from receiving the church's support. In verses 14 to 15, we have more instructions about being above reproach. And then the first part of verse 16 is again an emphasis on the family's responsibility. And we'll go into more detail in that in the coming weeks. But let's go back to introduction in verse 3. Okay, verse 3, I've titled the point, honoring widows is the church's responsibility. Okay, honoring widows is the church's responsibility. And so it says, honor widows who are widows indeed. This again is Paul speaking to, giving instructions to Timothy and to the church in Ephesus. And he's commanding them here that they are to honor widows. The word honor basically means to value something, or estimate a price or set a price for something. And so as it relates to people, it's a matter of honor or respect, referring to an action towards someone because of their value or their worth. Okay, sometimes, or often even, that word was used in honor or reverence to God. It was used to describe the honor or reverence that some would give to pagan gods. It's also used in terms of giving honor or respect to people in certain positions in society. And in particular, the word was often used in the New Testament to describe or to refer to the fifth commandment. Okay, the fifth commandment, Exodus 20:12. Honor who? Honor anyone? Your father and mother. Kids, hopefully you knew that one. Okay, honor your father and mother. And most clearly, we see that in Ephesians 6, if you want to turn there. Ephesians 6 is the clearest reference in the New Testament to the commandment in Exodus. And it's actually the only other time that Paul uses this same Greek word, honor, in all of his writings. Ephesians 6, we'll read verses 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And so as Paul's writing to the Ephesians in 1 Timothy, he's likely thinking here of God's commandment, of his requirement that children honor their parents. And so therefore, because parents, and in this case widows, deserve honor, and God requires that honor, the church is to be a widow's family if the widow doesn't have a family. But I'd say that also leads to a couple of questions. One, how must the church honor widows? And two, who must the church honor as widows? And both are good and important questions. Because if we're to fulfill our responsibility to honor widows, we need to know what our responsibility is, yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay, the same could be said for anything. If my children are to fulfill their responsibilities in the home to do chores, they need to know what those responsibilities are. And so, as it relates to our passage, how must the church honor widows? What is their responsibility? If we look just at the word honor, it would be leading us potentially to various conclusions, because even if you look ahead in verse 17, Paul uses a noun in the same family, the same word family, when he says that they are to honor elders. And that's a reference to paying elders. But then in verse 1 of chapter 6, Paul uses that same noun within the same word family in a different way than in chapter 5, 17, as he refers to slaves showing respect for their masters. And so we need to consider the context in which Paul uses it here. Does it mean an attitude of respect, or does it include financial and material support? And I'd say, obviously, in our context, Paul is referring to something beyond just simply respect and honor. He's calling for financial and material support. Therefore, it's the church's responsibility to financially and practically care for the needs of widows. Okay, it's the church's responsibility to financially and practically care for widows. But before we get everyone going to the new Grace Bible Seniors Home, I'm going to qualify that statement. And we qualify that by answering the second question as, who does the church support as widows or honor as widows? If you look back at verse 3, we see there Paul's qualifying his statement throughout the whole section with more details, but simply as he introduces it, as I'm introducing the topic at the end of verse 3, he says the church is to honor those who are widows indeed. And so that means the church's responsibility to honor, as in provide practical support, as they're to honor widows, is limited to those who are widows indeed. Some translations say really widows, truly widows, genuinely widows, and actually widows. Obviously, we have to ask, what is genuinely and actually a widow? The NIV interprets it for us, I'd say, with its translation when it says, widows who are really in need. And as I skimmed over the outline earlier, okay, I noted there, and we'll see it in the coming weeks again, the qualifications and disqualifications in verses 5 to 6 and 9 to 13, as Paul describes those widows who fall into the category of widows indeed. Okay, but for now, we're just going to see that Paul does limit those whom the church is responsible for. This isn't any widow all across Canada that can come to Grace Bible Seniors Home. As we also think about widows too, though, John MacArthur suggests the definition of those who are widows indeed might extend even beyond just those whose husbands have died. So he suggests that it could include women who have lost their husbands through desertion, divorce, or imprisonment. But in summary then, from verse 3, okay, we've been introduced to the church's responsibility to practically care for widows who require such support. But was this new to the church in Ephesus? If you turn to chapter 6, we see there that this type of support was from the very beginning in the early life of the church. Okay, the church was committed to providing for the needs of widows. Acts chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Now in those days, while the disciples were multiplying in number, there was grumbling from the Hellenists against the Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not pleasing to God for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this need." Okay, from that account, we see that the early church was daily providing meals for widows in the church. And if you also consider that whole issue that arose as the Hellenistic widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of the food, it says then the apostles were approached with the issue. It was too big for them. They needed to concentrate on preaching and prayer, and so they needed to have others to help them. Then they had the 7 men who were recognized as those who were going to take charge of the need. And so that sounds like a massive operation. It was too much for the elders, and they didn't just bring in 7 part-time employees. These 7 men were the managers overseeing what was probably a huge volunteer ministry to look after the widows in the church. That's what the early church was committed to. Daily, they were committed to the needs of widows. And I'd say, even as we go back to verse 3 in our passage, that this idea of continued ongoing responsibility is in Paul's verb tense, as he uses here a word that's commanding the church that they must practically support widows, and they must continue to do so. That means it's not enough to provide a hamper and a sympathy card to a needy widow. For those who are genuinely in need, according to God's heart for widows, we're actually even to support them for the rest of their lives. And we'll look at that some more in the coming weeks. But I'll just give a couple of points of application and clarification. One, the church's responsibility to honor or care for widows indeed doesn't require the church to pay for a widow to live in luxury. Okay, not even to provide them necessarily the same lifestyle they were used to when their husband was alive. Okay, what Paul's alluding to is that we're caring for the basic needs of a widow, such as their food, their clothes, and their shelter. And then two, okay, in our society, many widows receive some form of government support. And so a widow can often live with their basic needs met through that. And a widow must be wise in how they use that source of income rather than and before seeking other financial support. And I'd say that's, again, the same application for the widows in Ephesus and the church in Ephesus. Because in that time, there were, at times, sources of income that the widow could receive that meant that she wouldn't be required to seek outside help or the church's help. And so with those opportunities and incomes available, we can encourage them in that. And then three, okay, there's no strict formula in Scripture as to how we must care for them. And I'd say there's many different ways that a church can care for their widows. And that will depend on the widow and the church and the context. Okay, but some examples. Okay, individuals in the church could cook meals, they could clean their house, they could do chores around the house. Believers could also pay for meals on wheels, they could drive widows to appointments there and back. They could sit in on appointments and hear what doctors might have to say. Potentially, the church could set up a widow's benevolence fund, and out of that fund, give widows financial help as it's needed. Okay, but whatever such care might look like, from verse 3, we've concluded honoring widows is the church's responsibility. So that was verse 3. And before everyone dumps their lonely mum on our doorstep and goes for a vacation on the beach, let's look at verse 4. Okay, Paul there introduces the topic of family responsibility in verse 4. He repeats it in verses 8 and 16. And so verse 4, I've titled that point, honoring widows is the family's responsibility. Okay, honoring widows is the family's responsibility. So if you look there with me, we'll read it again together. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents. For this is acceptable in the sight of God. Okay, what Paul's saying here is that before the church provides any type of formal and official ongoing support for a widow in the church, the primary responsibility for the care of a widow is on the family. Okay, the church isn't to replace the family's responsibility. And the family isn't to neglect its responsibility. First and foremost, honoring widows is the family's responsibility. It's most likely in the situation in Ephesus that families were failing in their responsibility, most likely dumping widows on the church and expecting the church to fund their widows. And even bringing the church into financial crisis because it didn't have the money it needed to care for all these widows who weren't their responsibility. And so Paul, as we see here, if a woman loses her husband, if she has any children, if she has any grandchildren, Paul says, okay, they, not the church, not the government, not friends, not good Samaritans, they, the children and grandchildren, must learn to practice piety. And as you know, we've been talking about growing in godliness in the last few months. Okay, we've been looking at Paul's instructions to Timothy in chapter 4 as it related to pursuing and growing in godliness. And again, Paul brings up that idea. Yeah, the idea, again, that the word piety is a verbal form of the noun godliness. And so some translations even phrase it using that word. Okay, the ESV says, let them first learn to show godliness. The Holman Christian Standard Bible says they must learn to practice godliness. And so learning to practice piety is the same as growing in godliness. And so that means an important practical lesson in godliness is for Christians to care for the aged parents or grandparents. Okay, yes, we grow in godliness through reading God's word. We grow through prayer. We grow in serving His people. We grow sitting under biblical teaching. We grow through putting sin off and putting virtues on and much, much more. But here Paul explains we'll also grow in godliness. We'll learn to practice piety when we care for our aging parents. For some of you, it might not be hard to imagine growing in godliness by caring for your old and aging parents. Many of you might also agree with me when I say that there seems to be steps of sanctification. The first step is getting married, and God seems to increase the amount of sanctification we receive when we get married. Then we have kids, and there seems to be a further intensity in sanctification. And maybe in God's kindness and goodness, because He wants us to grow in godliness, He's now going to elevate us in sanctification through us caring for our parents. Who's excited for that? God has designed the family to support, love, care for, and protect each other. And so if we follow God's design, this occurs between parents and their young children, and then later those children and their old parents. Okay, in that second aspect of children caring for old parents, if you look back at verse 4, Paul calls making some return to their parents. Okay, the word parents here translated more literally just means someone who's born beforehand. And so therefore, Paul's not just pointing to or referring to parents here, but that would also include grandparents who are to be looked after. Either children or grandchildren are to do that as an opportunity in some way to repay or to make some return to their parents or grandparents. And so again, if we consider God's design for the family, it's the parents' responsibility to care for their children when they're younger. And in the future, it's God's design for those roles to be reversed and for those children to pay their parents back with care. That doesn't mean that parents should be tracking how much time, money, or energy they spend on their kids. And kids shouldn't be tracking how much time their parents have spent with them so they can track how much time they're going to spend with their parents when they get older. And unfortunately, some children haven't received the love and care that God's designed for them to receive in the family. But the point remains, children and grandchildren are responsible to honor their aged parents and grandparents, and that includes practical care as it's needed. And the word first, back in our verse again, it points to that practice being a priority. Honoring widows is the family's responsibility, and they're to do that as a continued practice. That means it's the family's responsibility day after day to continue giving back to the older generations. It's the family's responsibility to honor and care for the older generation for the rest of their lives. As I said, as Paul was writing to Timothy in the church in Ephesus, it's most likely people in the church weren't taking responsibility for their family members. Okay, because in verse 8, again, Paul highlights the family responsibility and with some very strong and severe words. He says this, "But if anyone does not provide for his own and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." And then in verse 16, at the start of that verse, as Paul closes out the section, he says, "If any believing woman has widows, she must assist them." And so, church, that must be a priority in our lives. A priority even now we can be thinking of. Okay, I don't know what it's going to look like for myself, but I need to be thinking about it. Okay, in our context, my parents and Jen's parents are on opposite sides of the globe. I don't think my parents would move here, and I don't know if Jen's parents would move there. And caring for family will look different for every family. But still, we're all called to care for family. It's to be a priority and it demonstrates godliness. If you turn to Matthew 15, I think we see that same principle there from Jesus' own mouth. Matthew 15. In verses 3 to 7, Jesus rebukes the Pharisees and scribes for encouraging people to give their money to God instead of supporting their parents. And so even though the religious leaders were elevating their suggestion as if it was a demonstration of godliness, as if it was a true commitment to God, Jesus confronts them with this man-made idea as rebellion against God. And so he says, verse 3, "Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death.' But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever you might benefit from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' and by this you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites. And then he goes on to quote from Isaiah. Again, that goes back to God's heart and requirement for widows. Because he has commanded us to honor our parents, because in practice that means practically looking after our parents in their old age, to neglect that responsibility is disobedience to God. Hey, no matter how we might try and excuse our behavior or replace it with some other superficial commitment to God, yeah, there's a story, it reminded me of a story as I was thinking through this in 1 Samuel 15. Hey, in that story we have Saul, he went out, he defeated all the Amalekites, he was commanded to destroy everything, but what did he do? He brought back the best of all the animals, he spared King Ahab, and then when Samuel confronted him, he suggested that he had done all of this to offer the best of animals to God. That was his religious, superficial answer. And then what happened next? Hey, Samuel rebuked Saul, telling him that the kingdom had been ripped out of his hands, that there was going to be another king, a king who was better than him, who would receive that kingdom, and then he hacked Agag to pieces. And in verse 22 of 1 Samuel 15, there's a principle there for all of us. When Samuel was rebuking Saul, he says, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." And we can apply that truth in our passage. Okay, on the one hand, disobeying God by not caring for our needy parents, but offering up superficial sacrifices or outward moral behavior instead, is actually rebellion against God. And on the other hand, to obey God inwardly and genuinely, to care for our older generation, even if that means giving less to the church, or even if that means not being as involved in the church because you're caring for your parents, that's pleasing to Him. If you go back to verse 4, I think we see that. Paul draws out that idea at the end of verse 4. He says, "For this is acceptable in the sight of God." Hey, right there, God tells us what pleases Him. If we know and love the Lord Jesus, if He's our Master, if we're committed to obey Him, if God's our Heavenly Father whom we want to serve, these are very special words and instructions, because He, through the Apostle Paul, defines clearly and exactly one way we can please Him. I know I make it hard for my wife to please me with her cooking, because she wants to make me meals that I enjoy and I'm just happy to eat whatever she gives me. It can also be hard to please our employer or our parents or our customers if we don't know what pleases them, yeah? But here in our text, there's no mistaking what pleases God. It pleases God, or it's acceptable, meaning He welcomes and approves of it, that we care for our family members. The same set of our evangelistic prayers in 1 Timothy 2:3, which we've looked at already. That's the only other time in the New Testament the same Greek word acceptable is used. It says, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." And one commentator commenting on that phrase in 2:3 says, quote, "To please God is the highest motive that can influence a Christian," end quote. And here it's the same. Paul's motivation and reason for the family to fulfill their responsibility to honor widows is ultimately because it pleases God. And no other action, when our parents or grandparents are in need, brings God's pleasure or is found acceptable in his sight. As we saw from Jesus' words in Matthew 15, okay, even giving all of our money to God, for I think we could extend that in saying even being a full-time missionary or always being busy serving the church to the point of abandoning and neglecting our parents or grandparents who are in need is hypocrisy, not godliness. And so because we have a desire to please our Lord, let's honor widows, because that's the family's responsibility. I heard recently of one pastor who resigned from the church he was pastoring. He moved across the U.S. He's now pastoring another church, and he did that so that he could be near and care for his mom. That's challenging. We have friends, and during COVID, they renovated their house. They took their grandma out of the nursing home she was stuck in because of all the restrictions, and she lived with them until she passed. Because they wanted to love and care for her. They wanted to give her freedom and joy and family values that she just couldn't find in the nursing home. That's challenging. I emailed my parents this week as I was studying through this passage, and I just said to them, thank you for your example. Because I was thinking about their example of caring for my grandparents in certain ways. My dad was often usually doing chores around their houses. There'd be visits we'd have and phone calls and other just little practical ways that my parents were able to care for my grandparents. Again, I'd say that's challenging. I also told them I'm committed to care for them, even though I don't know what that's going to look like. And I'm sure there's other examples that you guys can think of. Okay, even people in our church who have cared for grandparents and parents. I'd encourage you to talk to your kids about this, to prepare them, to teach them God's heart and God's requirement as it's laid out in Scripture. I tell my kids they should plan on us living with them. Sometimes it's a joke, and in the future we'll see if it was a joke. Also, I wondered maybe it should be part of premarital counseling or even a pre-dating question. Are you prepared to live with or care for my parents when they get older? That might limit people's options. And even for your kids, I just want to encourage you that this week you could send a card to your grandparents, you could call them, you could visit them, you could say thank you to them in some way, you could bake them something, do a craft for them. Is there a way that you can even now show your appreciation for your grandparents as you begin to learn and understand God's heart for the aged, for the needy, and their family responsibility for old, aging parents and grandparents? Will your kids do that this week? All right. Okay, there's lots of other practical ways that we could think of caring for our aging and needing parents. As I said earlier, that also just looks very different for every different family. Okay, it's to be determined based on the needs of the older family members and also the ability of the younger family members to provide help. Okay, what it's going to look like for me with my parents in Australia is different than what it might look for you guys if your parents are in town. But we're all both called to, in some way, care for our parents. And whatever it looks like, again, honoring widows, or more generally, parents, is the family's responsibility. Okay, that's the introduction to our discussion on widows. Verse 3, we saw honoring widows is the church's responsibility. And then verse 4, honoring widows is the family's responsibility. But again, all of that's to be motivated, as we saw, by our love for the Lord. because God loves and cares for widows, and He requires His people to love and care for widows. And so may our love and care for widows be a demonstration then of God's mercy, of His compassion, of His kindness, and of His love, because that's who He is. And that's what we've also received as sinners saved by God's grace. If you don't know Christ in this moment, I want to again just tell you, God is a compassionate, kind, gracious, loving, merciful God. If you don't know Him as a compassionate God, if you don't know Him as the forgiver of your sins, as the redeemer of your soul, Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Exodus 34:6-7, God revealed Himself to Moses with these words. "Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives inequity, transgression, and sin. Yet He will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren, to the third and fourth generation.'" And so if you don't know Jesus, if you're dead and burdened in your sin, come to Him and find spiritual and eternal rest. And church, for us who know and love the Lord Jesus, what a blessing it is even to consider again the mercy and compassion of our great God and Savior. His heart, not just for widows, but for the needy. And so as He's also shown us love, may we also love and care for those in need in His name, knowing that is pleasing in His sight. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, gracious, compassionate, caring God, we thank You for Your compassion as You've expressed it to us through the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You for Your compassion as it's revealed in Scripture, as we see Your heart for the widows, for orphans, for those in need. Father, we're humbled that You, so great, awesome, mighty God, would show compassion and love to those You created and who aren't deserving. Father, we recognize Your heart of love and compassion and pray that, Father, we would demonstrate such love and care and compassion as we consider how do we care for those in need, and more specifically, how do we care for widows who might be in need. Father, help us to be thinking through what it might look like for us as we might in the future or even now have to be caring for and considering the practical needs of family members. And Father, help us to do what we can and fulfill our responsibility as a church as You give us opportunity. Father, I pray that You would increase our church and bring in our midst those who are in need. Lord, bring widows to our midst that we can love and care for, that we can encourage. And Lord, I pray that as a church, we would fulfill the responsibility that You have given us to honor widows who are widows indeed. And Father, may we as family members fulfill the responsibility we have to honor widows, those within our family, Lord, whom we can bless and care for and love. Lord, we can't do any of this without You. And so we say thank You that You would save us, that You would redeem us, that You would change our desires so that rather than selfishness, we would desire to serve You even through serving others. Lord, and we pray that You would grow us in godliness as we continue to serve You, and Lord, as we express in whatever way we can honor to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.